welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to welcome you to a new week of broadcasting here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're going to be going into the Word of God. We're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy today. Deuteronomy, it's the fifth book from the very front of the Bible. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy was Moses' sermons to the people of Israel before they went into the Promised Land. So we're going to be in the 10th chapter of that, and we're going to continue looking at praising the Lord. It should not just be something we believe in. It should be a lifestyle. There are a lot of good reasons. There are some benefits. And so praising the Lord, well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Wanted to say thank you to the folks of Jets Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have a concrete job that you need done, Jits Concrete has been around a long time. Greg stopped by the church here a few weeks ago, and we had a conversation. We were talking about his dad. His dad still comes and sees me every couple of weeks, and I found out, you know, about some of the things that he had gone through that I didn't know about. And his son was telling me how God had spared his life, and I'm very, very thankful for that. I tell you, I've seen God intervene in on Brother Anderson's behalf, and his wife, who's since been promoted into the presence of the Lord. I've seen God intervene in their lives physically, but I didn't know about some of the testimonies. And so thank the Lord for his intervention, but we're thankful to know them, and they're a blessing to Merritt Assembly of God as well. But if you are considering a concrete job, they may be a great resource for you to avail yourself of. 321-536-5804. They can discuss the scope of your project, a timeline, cost, you know, what it would take to prepare, install, finish, and clean up. And, you know, they know all of that. They've got all the tools, all of the connections that are needed, and they can get your project up, running, and completed in probably way better fashion than you could do it. I know that they do it in a better fashion than I've been able to do it. So sometimes I find myself watching videos, construction videos, and then I remind myself, oh yeah, I never intend on doing that again. One of the reasons that I have that attitude towards concrete is because of the expertise of the folks at Jets Concrete. 321-536-5804. We're thankful for their support of the Refresh radio program. Talking about praising the Lord, I want to take you to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse number 20. And there are several things. We're going to start here, and then we'll more than likely migrate to Exodus 15 at some point in time, be that today or be that tomorrow. But let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're only going to read three verses here. It says, "You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him. And to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. So Moses is exhorting the people of Israel. And again, this is, you know, pretty, this is one of his last messages to them before they entered the promised land. And he says, you shall fear the Lord. We are supposed to have an attitude towards God of awe and reverence and realizing the fact that when we are in his presence and his presence is everywhere, that it is an awesome place, but it is to be tread carefully. You know, I've told you whenever I go into a courtroom, I realize that whether I'm being questioned about being a juror or whether I'm there as a support person or whatever it might be, I realize that I am in a orbit. I am in an atmosphere where that is not a place for frivolity and games. It is a very serious place, and I need to make sure that I understand and function according to the decorum of the courtroom. And so we need to realize what a privilege it is to have a relationship with God, but we are not the ones that dictate the terms. I cannot underestimate the number of people who I've interacted with that are of the mindset that they get to dictate the terms of the atmosphere to God instead of God setting the atmosphere for us. We should be in awe of the fact that no matter where we are, how deep the pit, how high the mountain, how lush the valley, or how desperate the wilderness is, God is there. My wife and I watched a documentary on the wilderness or the desert in Israel. I was shocked. I was like, I mean, Israel is not that large geographically, and to see the diversity in the landscape was something this wasn't done from a religious perspective. It was just done from a nature's perspective. And I was like, wow, that is, when they're talking desert, they mean desert. It was a dry, dry place. But even if you find yourself in that place of desert-like conditions, spiritually or physically, financially, relationally, God is there with you. So a few weeks ago, I got to church really early. It was still dark outside. I run my air conditioner. I mean, when you get in your car and the temperature at, you know, 5-something of a morning still says, you know, upper 70s, sometimes 80. You know, it's pretty warm. And so I had my air conditioner on. I live relatively close to the church, just a few miles. Doesn't take a lot of time when there's not many people on the road. And so I had the vents blowing right on my face. And as I was doing that, I appreciated the cool air. When I got out of the car, however, it was like a blast from a furnace, and it fogged my glasses up almost immediately. And I know that this is nothing that hasn't happened to a lot of people before, but as I was walking in, our security lights, which are pretty bright, were shining, and all of a sudden I could see rainbow-like colors all the way around. And so in the midst of that darkness, when I saw the light, it reminded me of God's covenant with Noah all the way back in Genesis. And I was like, God is a God of covenant. He is a God of his word. He's true to his word. And it just gave me just a moment of fresh revelation that even in the darkness, God is still to be praised. He said, you shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him. Serve him is a word that also means to minister. Like I mentioned before, it is, we are to be people of action. So this was, I think, last Friday's program when I mentioned that we're to be people of action. Christians are not supposed to be people of inaction. And so if you can't do anything else, if you are physically incapable of doing anything, you can still pray. A lot of times people want to do everything but pray. Sometimes people only want to pray. We're not called to just be either or. We're called to serve however God wants us to serve him, and do so with the right intentions, the right motives, to do serve him to the glory of God, so that he can have his way. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast. Now, my wife and I, we've been married a long time. I still have my original wedding ring. It had to be enlarged at some point in time. Something happened after we got married, where my wife, who is a very good cook, and that being in conjunction with the fact that my parents got me addicted to food as a child, caused my body shape to change. I was very happy with her cooking. She is a great cook. She's learned to cook some things that I grew up with. She's introduced me to things that she grew up with, and now we eat whatever is supposedly the best for us health-wise. And so we try to make that as tasty as possible. But I have this wedding ring, and I use my wedding ring, and I very, very rarely take it off. But I use it to talk to men if they are getting ready to have a child come into their life, their wife's getting ready to have a baby. I give them this piece of advice, and it's because I learned it the hard way. And that is, whenever you go in and your wife is about to deliver, make sure that you take your wedding ring off. Because when those contractions hit, you are there to be a support person to your wife, and you want to do that. And so she's going to want to hold your hand. She's going to want to squeeze that hand as to get her through those very painful contractions, for which we men have nothing to compare it to. Never minimize the pain that your wife is going through in the process of bringing that child into the world. But if you do not take your wedding ring off, she is going to squeeze the ever-loving life out of your hand. And as she's squeezing, that ring will dig into your finger, and you're going to want to complain about that pain, but you're not going to complain about that pain, because the pain of that ring going into your finger is nothing compared to the pain that she is experiencing. So you will say nothing. You will say, honey, you're doing great. I'm so proud of you. She's going to be holding fast to your hand, and you want to make sure that you represent well during that process. That's the type of grip that we should have on our relationship with God. Too many times the devil convinces people, look, things aren't going perfect. You should let go of your grip. Things could be going better if you would just let go of your grip. Job said, I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. The devil will try and convince you that your life is worse under God's direction and oversight than it was when you were available, or if the devil was available. All of that is a lie from the pit of hell. Hold fast to God in good times. Hold fast to God in painful times. Hold fast to your relationship with God as if you were on the verge of your greatest breakthrough, because you are. Hold fast to God. Take oaths in his name. A lot of times people say, well, God takes me seriously if I make a promise to him. And so I don't want to make a promise to God, because, and I will tell you again, that sounds right. It sounds safe, but in actuality, you and I need to realize that as long as the earth endures, there's seed time and harvest. And whenever we are investing in our spiritual obedience to God, we are going to reap a reward. Be a person who is true to your word, and that your word is not given flippantly, but it's given in a serious manner, and you are going to honor your word to God because you're expecting God to honor his word. He is true to his word. He's true to his promises of blessing. He is also true to his promises of correction. He is true about that there is a way to heaven. He is also true to his word that describes what eternity looks like without Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you want to make sure that you sow the seeds of being true to your word, because you expect God to be true to his word. Then it says this: he is your praise. Your relationship with Jesus is praiseworthy. Here, they do not know him as Jesus, the Son of God, at this point in time. They just know him as God. And they say, he is your praise. Moses declares, it's not just the good things that happen to you. It's not just the uneventful things. It's not just the financial blessings. Your relationship with God should be foundational to why we praise him, because he is our praise. It also says that he is your God. And we've talked about that when we were going through Revelation chapter 19. You praise him that he's God. You praise him that the devil's not God. You praise him that you're not God. You praise him that your friends aren't God. You praise him that he is God. He alone is God. And he rules over the affairs of men. He is great. So it says, praise him. He is your praise and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. So there had been eyewitnesses that Moses was preaching to who had seen God devastate the kingdom of Egypt with his plague. They had witnessed the parting of the Red Sea. They had witnessed with their own eyes Moses on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments and the power and the glory of God on display for them to see. They had seen that. They had seen the parting of the Red Sea. They had seen the cloud by day and the cloud of fire by night. They had witnessed the manna from heaven They were still witnessing that at this point in time. They had witnessed God dealing with rebels. They had witnessed with their eyes God dealing with an entire generation who were known as a generation of unbelief. They had seen mighty miracles. They had seen God provide meat whenever there was no meat around. They had seen the provision of water. They had seen their clothes and their sandals not worn out. So they had seen a lot. I want to ask you, what have you seen? And remember, everything that they had seen was because God had initiated relationship with them, had initiated deliverance for them, and accompanied them. He organized their culture and their society to revolve with God and worship of him at the core. And as a result, they saw great and mighty things. They saw God deliver them when the enemy was trying to take them out. When others tried to attack them, God delivered them. And the people who were killed with, through God's intervention was amazing. Praise him because he is your God who has done great and awesome things. God has a track record that is praiseworthy. And then he adds verse number 22. He said, your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of the heaven and multitude. They went down as invited guests. They stayed as people entrusted with a responsibility to take care of Pharaoh's flocks, because that was a detestable thing for the Egyptians, but it was something that the people of Israel were very, very good at, and therefore they thrived. But over the next several hundred years, the relationship with Pharaoh no longer was based on their skill in meeting something in the Egyptian economy. Instead, a Pharaoh came to the throne who did not remember Joseph, did not know what he had done. And because the children of Israel had grown so numerous, they viewed the children of Israel as a threat, as a vulnerability, in case they decided that they would side with someone attacking Egypt. And so they reduced them to slaves. And Moses is telling them this: praise God. Praise God, because even when we were in bondage, even when Pharaoh was trying to eliminate all of the males, God has brought us significant increase, even under the most difficult conditions. He says, in fact, you are as the stars of the heaven and multitude. Praise God for increase. Have you stopped to look at how God has increased you? Well, if Jesus comes into your life, you have increased in life, because you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and now you are made alive in Christ Jesus. You may have increased in number. And I can tell you that my wife and son and I, we came to Florida. We did not know anyone. And, you know, we know a few more folks now. Several years ago, my son and I don't remember if my youngest daughter went with me on that trip or not, but they went to one of the general councils. We just had ours last week. They went with me as out of state. It was in a different area, and they came back and they told my wife, they said, "Mom, Dad knows everybody." We couldn't walk very far at all until Dad was running into someone, and we're, you know, a couple of thousand miles away. Dad knows everybody. And when I came to Florida decades ago, my wife and I knew one another, and we knew the name of our boss selling shoes. And since then, God has brought increase. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11, people like to talk about that verse because it says, "God, I know the plans that I have for you, to, you know, good, not to harm, to give you hope in a future." But in the midst of that, if you read the whole chapter, God was telling the people in Babylon through Jeremiah, pray for the city that you are there. You have a responsibility to increase there, not to decrease. Because there were people who were saying, "Hey, we just need to hold on. We just need to hold out. Don't get too comfortable here. Don't, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, the daily necessities and all of that, because we're soon going to be uprooted from here and we're going to be taken back." And Jeremiah said, "It's going to be 70 years. And I will tell you, I don't know what season you are in. I don't know if you're at the, you know, at the brink, you know, where 450 years of bondage is coming to an end. I don't know if you're just entering a new season, but I can tell you this, whatever season you are in, God is God to be praised. Praise him for everything that you have seen. Praise him for how holy he is. Praise him that he's on the throne. Hold fast to him and praise him for increase, because I will tell you this, when God gives increase, sometimes it comes at a little, sometimes it comes in abundance, but he is worthy to be praised. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."